When you're packing for a little summer vacation trip, don't forget the snacks and the sunscreen, and do not forget to brush up on technology safety. With us to talk about the do's and don'ts of that, digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. Tell us why we should be concerned about digital security on vacation.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, it's such an important question. And honestly, most people don't think about this until something goes wrong. But the reality is that travel puts us in situations where we're more vulnerable than usual. We're connecting to unfamiliar networks. We're using our devices in public spaces. And we're often carrying all of our important information. So think boarding passes, hotel confirmations, banking apps. I mean, it's all on a single device. So when you're thousands of miles from home, a compromised device isn't just inconvenient. It can actually derail your entire trip.
For sure. Let's start with something everyone encounters, public Wi-Fi. Yeah. And we're thinking about the safety of this more and more because every airport, hotel, and coffee shop offers the Wi-Fi. What's the risk there?
Well, public Wi-Fi is like having a conversation in a crowded room where anyone can eavesdrop. These networks are often completely unencrypted, which means someone who's a cyber criminal can intercept anything you do online. And the two biggest threats are what security experts call evil twin attacks and man-in-the-middle attacks. This is really interesting. An evil twin is when a hacker creates a fake network that looks legitimate. So, for example, you might see in your list of Wi-Fi, airport-free Wi-Fi with underscores and airport-free Wi-Fi with dashes. And if you connect to the wrong one, And if you're on their network, they can see everything you do. A man-in-the-middle attack is when someone intercepts the data flowing between your device and that legitimate network. So they're essentially reading everything you do, like over your digital shoulder, if you will, as you check your email, you log into your accounts, or even enter credit card information.
That is scary. So Should we just avoid public Wi-Fi entirely?
I wouldn't say necessarily avoid it entirely, but you need to be smart about it. So first, always verify the network name with an airport employee or official signage. Don't just connect to something that sounds right because it says it's free. Second, turn off auto connect on your devices. This prevents your phone or laptop from automatically joining networks without your knowledge. And third, never access sensitive information like banking or enter passwords while you're on public Wi-Fi. And another thing you can do is consider using your phone's mobile hotspot instead, because your cellular data connection uses a robust type of encryption that's a lot safer than public Wi-Fi.
And what about VPNs? I keep hearing about VPNs. Is that something necessary for the average traveler?
Well, a VPN, to be clear, is a virtual private network. It is probably one of the single most important security tools for travelers. So think of it this way. You're creating a private encrypted tunnel for your data, even when you're on a public network. So when you use a VPN, all of your internet traffic is scrambled before it leaves your device. So even if someone were to intercept it, they can't read it. And there are several options, and you can find one that works for you with a quick Google search.
So are there specific features that we should look for in a VPN?
Yeah, there's actually several. So some examples include you want something with strong encryption, a robust server network with servers in your destination and in certain countries. So that's why if you want to Google it and say, I'm going here, it'll tell you what VPN networks are good. You also want support for multiple devices. And this is very important. It's going to sound basic, but 24/7 customer support. Because remember, tech problems are not going to wait for business hours. And you also want to make sure that it works well with streaming services, because if you plan to access your Netflix or do other accounts from back home, you need to make sure that works well.
Yeah, this is really good advice, and people are going to hear this again. We'll post our conversation later on our show page at WGNRadio.com. And if you know somebody about to travel, you may want to send this to them as well. WGN. It's our Tuesday Tech Talk with Scott Kleinberg. Scott, as you know, nothing ruins a travel day like a dead phone battery. What's your advice for staying charged on vacation?
Yeah. You know, power management, it's critical because your phone isn't just for calls anymore. It's your map. It's your boarding pass. It can be your hotel key. It's your camera. It's your emergency contact device. And it's really all rolled up into one. The first rule is to bring your own charging equipment. I would not rely on finding the right charger at your destination. And pack your regular charging cable, pack a wall adapter, and consider getting one of those portable power banks.
And what about protecting the phone itself? What basic security steps should we take?
Well, start with the basics that many of us overlook. Make sure your phone is encrypted. Most modern phones do this automatically when you set up a passcode or Face ID or Touch ID. But if your phone is more than 5 years old, you want to double check everything in your security settings. Use a strong password. Consider switching from that 4-digit code to unlock your phone to a 6-digit or longer one while traveling. Always make sure to enable Find My Phone or Find My Device so you can locate and remote wipe your phone if it gets stolen, you know, because this isn't just about getting your phone back. It's about protecting all of the data on your phone.
Right. And how does two-factor authentication work while you're traveling? We know it's important, but it is different when you're outside the U.S., isn't it?
Yeah. It's great for security, but it can be a nightmare when traveling internationally. The problem is that many banks and loyalty programs only send authentication codes to a home country's phone number via text. So if, let's say, you're in Europe and you have a local SIM card or you're using the international roaming feature on your phone, you might not receive those critical text messages. So the solution is to prepare. Before you travel, download all your banking and account apps that you might need. Register your device for push notifications instead of text messages. That's an important distinction when possible. And also make sure you have a way to receive calls or text on your home number while abroad, even if it means paying roaming charges every once in a while.
Are there some special considerations that we need to know about when we're out of the country?
Well, international travel can add some layers of complexity. Different countries have different privacy laws and internet restrictions. You also want to make sure you research the electrical outlets and voltage to make sure you have the right plug, because while most modern chargers work with different voltages, you'll still need the right physical type of adapter.
And what about data roaming and international plans? Because you can call and get those pretty easily.
Yeah, that's a good one. Contact your carrier before you're traveling to understand what your options are. Many carriers often offer affordable international plans. There's even daily passes that are much cheaper than traditional roaming charges. But always turn on those data roaming alerts to avoid bill shock, and consider downloading offline maps and translators before you leave home.
And as far as protecting our devices while we're traveling, what do we need to think about?
Well, physical security is just as important as digital security. So while you're traveling, you might want to consider investing in an anti-theft backpack. They have features like slash-resistant fabric, locking zippers, hidden pockets. And if you use luggage, which of course you would, GPS trackers are becoming increasingly popular.
So if you do all these things, something can still go wrong. Any advice for how to prepare for technology failures?
Good question. The best defense is redundancy. You never want to rely on a single device or a single method for anything critical. So you can take photos of important documents, passport, driver's license, insurance cards, credit cards, and store them securely in cloud storage so you could access them on a different device. Write down important phone numbers, because if your phone runs out of battery or it gets stolen, you won't have access to your contacts.
And backup data, right?
Oh my goodness, yes. And in this case, a complete backup, not just your photos. Back up your entire phone to iCloud or Google Drive or your computer before leaving home, because this way, if something happens to your device, you can restore everything from a new phone. Also, make sure you know your Apple ID, your Google account, other important passwords, or have them written down separately from your devices.
Best apps to have on your phone when you're traveling?
Think offline capabilities. Download Google Maps offline for your destination. Get a translation app that works without needing to be connected to internet. Have a currency converter ready. For security, install the VPN app and test it before you travel. Banking and airline apps, very essential, but make sure they're updated. Make sure you have your login credentials. Consider apps for organizing your travel documents. You want a good weather app for your destination. And most importantly, test everything while you're still at home so you can fix the problems easily.
A lot to think about before you travel, and it's worth thinking about. Let's get to the Genius Bar. And here's a good one for you, Scott. And this has come up. We've gotten a couple of texts and emails about this. People on their smartphone, they're checking their email, and maybe they don't have time to respond or read everything, but they know what's on their phone. And then later they go back to check email on the phone, and some of the emails have disappeared. Why does that happen, and what can you do about it?
It's so annoying. And one of the things that I would say that you can do about it is restart the mail program, restart the phone, restart the computer, because what's happening is your email is being downloaded from a server. Think a central location. And that central location is sending the information to your different devices. So you see it on your phone, you see it on your computer. Then something happens locally where it just disappears from the server. It's usually temporary. And when you restart the device, it causes the device to check again at the server level, and it finds what it's missing and it puts it back. So it's really a temporary blip when it's happening, but it's scary because you think it's gone forever. Yeah. Normally it's not gone. Normally it's just a matter of rebooting, restarting, at least restarting the program to see if that does it.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that happens to. Scott Kleinberger, talk to you next week. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.